pray, Lord, you would speak to us through your word. God, release the shackles from our heart, from our mind, from our bodies, Lord, from our emotions, Lord. The spiritual bondage and baggage we've been carrying around, Lord, and you said we are free, that we should cast all our cares upon you because you care for us. So why are we still holding on to it? Thank you, Lord. You've made us free. Not only that, you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. God didn't send his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, might be rescued. Lord, not only did you rescue us, but you set us free. God, let us live by your word. Let us internalize your word, Lord. God, let us apply it to our life. Regardless of this circumstance and situation, Lord, let us stand on your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, so we try our best to navigate through a dark, broken, fallen, decaying world. Speak to us now through your word, Lord. We open our hearts and our minds to receive what you're saying to us now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Job, chapter 42. And we'll start at verse 10. We'll kind of continue our series. I don't even know what the series is, but we'll continue it. We've been on it so long. Amen. So good to see you all. I love you all on this morning. Thank God for another week.
Love you, Pastor.
Thank God for what he's doing in our Sunday school classes with the youth and with the men, with the women. Amen. What he's just doing with our church family as a whole is he's challenging us to grow. Yes. Challenging us to grow up. He's stretching us way out of our comfort zone. No more business as usual. So here we are. We pick up the story of Job, and we kind of started at the beginning of Job, and now we're at the end. So we've kind of fast-forwarded to the end of the story. Amen. Sometimes you have the prequel where they tell you what happened before it got to this point. We're going to do some of that today. But if you look at Job 10, 42 and 10, and it says, and the Lord restored the captivity of Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Amen. That turn we talked about last week, and we prayed for the turnaround. But it's talking about how God restored the losses of Job when he prayed for his friends. Wow. So make a note of that. Some kind of way prayer for others blesses you and initiates something from God in order to bless you when you pray for others. Sometimes we have to get outside of ourselves and pray for others. Some kind of way God gave Job twice as much as he had before. When you get a chance, and we've read it several times, look at Job chapter 1 when his whole world fell apart. His whole world fell apart. And then we fast forward it to the end. And it's a lot of stuff that happened in between. We call that the process. We call it the patience before you get to the promise. Somebody right now is in the middle of the process and the patience, trying to get to what God has promised them. But we fast forward to the end of the story, so we see that we win. Despite all that we're going through, and I share with you all how I've been doing during the NBA playoffs. I tape the game, but then I go and fast forward and see who wins. If my team loses, I don't watch. I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to sit there for, although I do work, because I hope no one sits for 3 hours and just watches a game. I just really hope you don't do that. I have my laptop. I'm doing work. Trust me, I'm not. Time is too precious to be sitting watching. So anyway, I fast forward so I can see, then I can relax. Let me say this again, because you guys got to get this. I fast forward so I can see who wins, then I can relax and watch the game. Not all what's going to happen. I already know what's going to happen because I went to the end. Amen. It was a couple of boxing matches on last night. Me and Little Man was watching some fights, and you know, we just sitting relaxing because we know somebody gonna get knocked out. It's okay. We know it's just coming. It's just a matter of time. This guy gonna get knocked out. Regardless, even if the other guy gets knocked down, some kind of way he's gonna get back up and knock the other guy, because we already looked at the end of the story. Amen. We win. Every now and then, go to Revelation 21 and see the new heaven and the new earth, and you see we win, and then just take a deep breath and relax. Just know it's going to be all right. Amen. Amen. So now we fast forward to Job, and we see that the turnaround happens. But then I kind of wrote down some steps to God gave me some steps to the turnaround. And I want, for those of you taking notes, I want you to write this down. It was like seven steps to the turnaround. And so when we come to church, we don't. Remember, this is not, some of us, we have our own business, we do things, we go to business seminars for information. This is not that. We come to the Word of God for revelation. God, I don't need information, I need you to reveal to me, God, speak to me through your Word. I don't need information from the Word, I need revelation knowledge from the Holy Spirit, from the Word to my heart, to quicken my spirit, to encourage me. So family, never come to church for information. Always pray for revelation. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so here we go. Let's look at this first revelation. Look at Job 42 and 1. Job 42 and 1. And then Job answered the Lord and said, verse 2 where the revelation comes in, I know that thou can do everything. That's number one. Make a note. First step in the turnaround is knowing that God can do everything. Let me say that again, because it sounds basic, but it's not as basic as it sounds. All right, let me see, because Kathy, I got a bunch of read this. I don't know how we're going to get through this, because I didn't write a novel. It sounds, it says, to do anything, the ability and the strength, everything. I looked up, to do is the ability and the strength. Everything, I looked that up in the Hebrew as well, and everything means everything. I didn't have no choice. It said everything. No further discussion. But it sounds basic, but it's not that basic. Somebody say amen Monday through Friday. Come on, it sounds like, oh, Pastor, what you should. We know God can do everything, but do you know it Monday through Friday? When you get that call from your family, after you visit the doctor, when your boss calls you into the office, do you know God can do everything? At school, youth, when your best friend stabs you in the back, do you know that you can do everything? Do you know God can do everything? Sounds basic right now, but it's not that basic. But it speaks to our faith. So number one in the turnaround is, do you really believe what this word says? Do you really trust in God? Do you really believe that God can do everything? So it takes us to Hebrews 11 and 6. Dominique, take us to Hebrews 11 and 6. God can do everything speaks to our faith in God. Faith being translated as trust. Do you really trust that God can do everything? So that's the first thing that happened when Job's situation began to turn around, and he realized, man, now I realize, God, you can do everything despite what I'm going through, despite what's happened in my life. Despite what's happened to my family, God, you can do everything. Then the turnaround begins. Speaks to our faith in Hebrews 11, 6. It says, but without faith, without trust, without that belief that God can do everything, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You got to believe that. Your turnaround will never happen if you don't believe. If you don't trust that God can do everything. Sounds basic, but it's not that basic. When you're going through, when it's your family this time, when it's your job, when you get the pink slip, when you get laid off, when you get that notice from the doctor, believe that God can do everything. Most of you know who's been here since I've been here within the last 6 years. We've had him here. Dr. West is my mentor. I shared this with the men yesterday. Dr. West was going for colonoscopy, Melanie, yesterday, Friday, and his heart stopped. They brought him back. Yes, by the grace of God. He called me this morning because I called him as soon as I heard. He called me and said, man, we just talked Thursday. He went in for a colonoscopy Friday and his heart stopped. He said, man, we could be having a different conversation right now. It's tough when you get the call. Do you believe that God can do everything? He gave me a number of reasons why it happened and how it happened and what they said. But the bottom line is we determined, man, life is just too delicate to be upset, to be holding grudges, to not forgive, to not love, to not share Christ. Life is just too delicate. He was out flatlined for 30 seconds, and then they came back, said he didn't know what happened. He's trying to figure out why is everybody in the room and his wife is there. Look, what they all look? Oh, the procedure must be over. No, brother, not quite. But can you hold on to God when it's the other way around, when they don't come back? Do you believe that God can do everything? So you're saying, Pastor, you parked here for a while. I am parked because if we don't get past this, then you're going to walk out of here. And if you don't believe God can do everything, then you're going to be right back where you started. Make a note, Romans 14:23 says, if it's not of faith, then it's sin. If you can't believe that God can do everything, then you're stuck in a sin state of mind because you haven't trusted him with your whole heart and your mind, your soul and your spirit. That's Romans 14:23. Bless you. So Job says in verse 2, I know that you can do everything. Thank you, Lord, that you can do everything. And that no purpose of yours can be stopped. What God has purposed and set in motion, it can't be stopped. Jesus said there's so many things I couldn't do because of their unbelief. Because they didn't believe. They tried to say, "Who, man, aren't you the carpenter's son? Aren't you this?" They didn't believe that he was who he said he was. So Job is saying, my turnaround started when I realized God can do it. God is who he said he is, and he can do what he said he can do, and he can do everything. So God has a purpose for everything that's happened in our life.
Yes, he does.
God has allowed things to happen in our life to push us into the purpose and the plan he has for us. As you and I reflect back on our life, we can see, I call it a strategic, is it tapestry, that God has quilted together. But look what I added. The strategic tapestry. And those of you, who sews in here? Anybody you sew? Brother John, I should have known. I shouldn't even ask. I should have known. All right? But as you are sewing that tapestry, this quilt, my grandmother, Mama Bert, used to quilt, and she would quilt. I know Tracy's mom quilts as well and sews. But God is saying that the strategic tapestry that he puts together for your life, for all of our life, as he's putting it together, when it's complete, should have the words on it, I trusted God. That's what your tapestry has to spell. As he's looked back at your life and where we are right now and how God has moved as we walk in faith. So we walk by faith and not by sight. There's a tapestry being quilted, either saying, as Frank Sinatra would say, I did it my way, or I trusted God. And if you're not trusting God 100%, you're still doing it your way. You're still doing it your way. If you haven't trusted God 100%, then you're still doing it your way. And the turnaround that God has for you is still being delayed. Because you're still at first base, which is trusting God. So God has the strategic tapestry he's quilting together, which is the person that you and I are today and the place we are today. Right where you are is right where God wants you. And you got to trust God right where you're at. Right where you are is right where God wants you, and God wants you to trust him right where you're at. Yes. Yes. Surrender, submit, and commit to him right where you're at. God can turn things around for good when we submit and surrender to his will. Verse 3. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Who is a person that is concealing the purpose of God because they don't have discernment? That's what that is saying when you break it down into Hebrew. Let me say that again. Who is the person that is concealing, you're hiding, you're forfeiting the purpose of God because you don't have discernment? That's why we don't pray for information. We pray for revelation. We pray for discernment. Who is the person that can't see the plan and purpose of God for their life because they don't operate according to God's knowledge? Job says, I could not see God's purpose for my life because I didn't have discernment. I couldn't see it. I couldn't discern past what I was in. Anybody ever been there? Right where you are, you can't discern past. Right, God, I don't know what I can't see past right here. Make step number two is discernment. Step number two in the turnaround is discernment. When you're praying for family and friends and we go through our prayer list, pray for discernment. God, give them discernment so they can see what you're doing in their life. What's the plan and the purpose for the situation that they're in right now? Give them discernment so they can see it. Second half of that scripture, verse 3, says, As a result, I declare I have no discernment, that there are things too wonderful, way beyond my power, which I didn't even know. Verse 3 in the turnaround, step 3 in the turnaround is humility. Humility. God, I just don't. Some things just way beyond my power. I humble myself before you, Lord, because there's just certain things I don't know. It says the Bible has been teaching humility long before Kendrick Lamar came out with the song Be Humble. God was teaching humility from day one, because it says in the beginning, God. Okay. It didn't say in the beginning, you and I. It says in the beginning, God. Side note for trusting God. I have this written down, so I got to read it. And as I'm studying, I'm sitting down, I'm thinking about all this too, right? So I'm going to pass it on to you. As God's speaking to me, I'm going to pass it on to you. God says, when you sit, I want you to, today at some point, family, I want you to sit and pause. I want you to look at your life. And can you say that you really trust God? Okay, hear what I'm saying, family. Just take a few minutes. Just look back, go back and over your life, and can you say that you really trust God? Or is your life filled with stress, worry, manipulation, compromise, and sin? What do I do to get ahead? Or what do I do that holds me back? Stress, worry, manipulation. I got to manipulate this situation. I got to compromise so I can get ahead. I got to commit sin so I can be liked. Sit and pause and look at your life and just ask yourself, do I really trust God? God, if there's anything in me that's not like you, remove it far from me. But I got to ask myself that hard question. As I'm going day to day, what do I really trust? You trust something. You worship something. You believe in something. You do. So Job humbles himself and says, man, God, it's just stuff I don't even know. And then verse 4, he says, God, I'm begging you. I'm asking you, will you speak to me? Verse 5, Job says, I've heard of you by the hearing ear, but now my eye sees you. I've heard about God, but now I see God for myself. And that's the true reverence of God. He understands now he can, that's what we call when we reverence God, he respects the awesomeness of God. God, I finally see you for myself. Now I know you for myself. So I said last week, I know grandma would talk about you and the old saints would talk about you. But now, God, now I know you.
Yes.
We can't get by on grandma and grandpa and dad and mom and siblings. God, now I know you. I used to hear about you, Lord, but now I know you for myself. That's step 4, when you respect the awesomeness of God. Then you get to the point in verse 6 where Job said, I detest myself and I repent. Step 5 is repentance, which is to turn away. So in order to get the turnaround, you got to turn away. Turn away from sin and turn to God for forgiveness in order to get the turnaround. Before God can really use us, we have to get to the point where we deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Christ daily. We spoke on that last week. You can read Luke 9, 18 through 26. Make a note, family. Nothing turns around if we don't truly repent. Nothing turns around. Your life doesn't turn around if you don't truly repent and turn away from sin and turn to God. Nothing changes. So take a look at verse 7. Now we pick it up today and we're at verse 7. And it was so. Somebody underline that. And it was so. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, that the Lord sent Eliphaz the Temanite. Says, my wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job has done. Amen. Make a note, you don't be out there bad-mouthing God. Make a note, we will be held accountable about the things we say about God. I don't think people really understand that when they're out there speaking bad of God. Saying things about God. Why would God do this? Why would God? That's not what it's about. Those are people who haven't read and they don't understand the character and the nature of God. That's why you have to read the word. Otherwise, you don't understand the character of God. No, God didn't create evil. We have free will and we go out and do evil and stupid things. That's not God. Why would God? God ain't, he would allow it, but God hasn't done anything. So his friends are speaking evil of God, and God said, I'm holding you accountable. And look at this. He says, verse 8, therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. I will cause my face to shine upon him, lest I deal with you according to your foolishness. Make a note, you don't want God to deal with you according to your foolishness already. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You do not want God to deal with you according to your foolishness. But here's verse 7, so I got a couple of questions for you. He said, take it to Job so Job can pray for him. Pray for you. Who do you have that prays for you when you just can't get a prayer out? Who do you have in your circle? If you don't have people in your circle who can pray for you and really talk to God, then you got to start thinking about what circle of friends are you hanging out with? And then who can come to you and ask for prayer? If they can't come to you and ask for prayer because of the sin and all the other garbage that you're in, you got to realize, man, I got to get myself together. He said, go to Job because he's going to offer for you and he's going to pray for you and I'm going to answer that prayer. Who can you go to? You say, you know, I really need you to pray for me. And you know that their prayers aren't going to bounce off the ceiling and come back down because they're not living right. And then if someone comes to you and asks you to pray and you and all kind of stuff, you know, hey, don't ask me to pray. You don't want me to pray for you. Hey, we talk about it within the network of men and what we're doing here. We're trying to be accountable to one another. And if I need to call a brother to pray for me, I need to know that he can, that he's lined up right and his prayer is going through. Other than that, I got to find me a new set of men. Amen. But then they need to know they can come to their pastor. And their pastor is not playing, but their pastor's praying. When Clarence called me this week and said his dad was close to death, I said, come on now. I can't play with people's lives. He called his pastor. If I'm in a bunch of garbage and all this other kind of stuff, hey, Bixie, you might want to call Brother Anthony. What good is that? When Maurice called or Anthony called or I called them or John, we got it. Who do you call? And then who calls you? Job's friends called him because God told him to. Would God tell your friends to call you? God says, I will accept his prayer. Because I don't want to have to deal with you according to your foolishness. I say, oh, man, that's a bad day. If anybody ever been real with themselves, they know, God, please don't deal with me according to my foolishness. He said, in that you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job did. Even though Job had his issues, he repented. These guys never got to that point. And God said, if he doesn't pray for you, if he doesn't cover your sin with the offering, then I'm going to deal with you according to your foolishness. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Be careful what you say about God and how you say it. Speak right and speak true of the living God. You must know the word of God so that you know the character and the heart of God. God is holy and righteous, slow to anger, forgiving, gracious, merciful, sovereign, great, powerful, majestic, victorious, love, and light. In God, there is no darkness at all. You can't live a dark life and think you are connected to God. It's not possible. You can't live a dark life and think you're connected to God. It's not possible. People want to always throw in our face that God is love. You're supposed to be loving. No, but God is also light. And in him is no darkness at all. Don't try and tell me about the love without the light and the salt. But if you don't understand the character of God, then you speak ill of God. But if you don't read the word of God, then you have no idea who God is. Some people are going to have a rude awakening when they're held accountable for the things they have said about God. Yes, you and I need to repent of the things we have said or thought about God. Somebody say amen. God, forgive me. I was having a bad day. It wasn't your fault, God. I know it was. I was tripping. Please don't deal with me according to my foolishness. And for us, we know as we, when we receive Jesus Christ, which means we accept Jesus Christ into our heart as our personal Lord and Savior, and we join ourselves to Christ, have that heart-to-heart connection and ask for the forgiveness of our sins, then God won't have to deal with us according to our foolishness. The only difference is that Job repented of his sin, and that made Job right in the sight of God. The only difference with us, we've accepted Jesus Christ into our heart. When God looks into our heart, he doesn't see the sin. He sees his son, Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. So those of us have that true heart-to-heart connection. And when we would ask God, what is the last sin we committed? He would say, I don't remember. Thank God he won't deal with us according to our foolishness. So step six in the turnaround is the daily consistent prayer life. Daily consistent prayer life. Verse 9, so Eliphaz and the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according. Step 7 in the turnaround is obedience. They went and did what they were told to do, as the Lord commanded them. The Lord lifted up Job, or caused his face to shine upon Job. And then we get to verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. He restored the losses of Job. Hey, man, that's great news. And yes, it's also written how the Lord restores the years that the cankerworms have eaten out. It's written in his word. And Job, when he prayed for his friends, look how he prayed for his friends. And then the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Verse 11, then there came unto him all his brethren, all his sisters, and all they had been his acquaintance before. So I was reading, I'm like, where were they at when he was going through? Where were they at? Were they just on the sidelines throwing rocks or what? It says, but they came back and did eat with him and his house, and they bemoaned him, which means they just shook their head and said, man, you've been through a lot. Comfort him over all that word evil in the Hebrews, adversity. They comfort him all over all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. And we know the Lord didn't bring it upon him. Satan brought it upon him. But God allowed it to get him to that point, to get him to this point. Make a note, we said it before. God will use Satan to get you right to where he wants you to be. Of course, Satan means it for evil, but God means it for good. That's why you don't speak ill of God, because God even used Satan, the foe, to get you right where he wants you to be. Take you through some adversity to get you right here. Where God, now I trust you with everything I have. I got a few amens on that. But God will use the enemy to get you right there, take you through all the adversity and say, now I got you right where I want you. Can you trust me now? Can you humble yourself now? Can you acknowledge me now for who I am? Can you start praying for your friends now? Can you repent now? God will take you right there. And every man gave him a piece of silver and everyone an earring of gold. I guess. Before God gave Job his stuff back, twice as much, by the way, God restored the relationships between family and friends. Make a note of that. Amen. Amen. Look how it happened. It says, make a note, family and friend. Make a note, family. Make a note, family and friends are more important than stuff. Somebody say amen. Oftentimes, in our haste to get stuff, we damage the relationship between family and friends. Never place stuff over God, family, and friends. Make a note of that. Amen. Most people these days are trying to get turned up. God's trying to take them to the place of the turnaround. Thought my youth would like that one anyway. So, hey, thank you. All right, Darius, good looking. Thank you. Most people are trying to get turned up where God's trying to move them to the turnaround. But then family. Okay, so before we dismiss, let me just. When you look at verse 11, and Job, his family's coming back, his sisters, man, and then there came unto him his brothers and his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintances, they came back. But look what he had to go through, and who would ever thought that it could be that way again? And we'll pick it up next week when his daughters and his sons and talks about Job living. Just a quick preview. Look at verse 16. 1, 2, 3, 4. Four words. After this, Job lived. There's a lot of living we have to do. There's still a lot of living ahead of us. Even after you go through all the hell and adversity, you can still live. That's just a preview. Make a note. Don't sleep on that. He still lived after all he'd been through. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let us have a lot of living to do. Not worrying, not stress, but trusting you so we can live. Not worried about what's going on. God, I know you can do everything, so now I can really live. So cast all my cares upon you. But then here's the question I have. You don't always have questions. Take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Why do we have to go through the test to get to the promise? And God's saying that the test leads to the turnaround. Why do we have to go through the test to get to the promise? Deuteronomy 2 and 8, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. So God led you in that place of wilderness when you're alone and afraid and broken and battered and confused and cast off. Said to humble you and to test you. So God, why are you testing me? So you to know what was in your heart. Whether you would keep my commandments or not. So why do I have to go to the test before I get to the turnaround? And then this is where we'll pick it up next week. So if you would, just bow your heads just for a quick moment of prayer. And Lord, God, let us just start at the beginning. God, we trust you and we know that you can do everything. Yes. You are sovereign. You can do anything that you want to. We start there, Lord. So that way we can relax because we know how this game ends. We win in the end. So God, I know it's easy to say it on Sunday morning between 9 and 10:30. But when we leave here and when Monday comes and we get the call and the pink slip and all the other kind of stuff goes on, God, because life still happens, let us pause and relax. and see you quilting that tapestry of I trust God with everything. I trust God with everything, with my kids, with my grandkids, mm-hmm. with my spouse, with my family, with my friends, with my sibling, with my mind, with my heart, with my health. God, I trust you with everything. Yes, Lord. With my job, with my business, with my ministry, with my church. God, I trust you with everything. I will cast all my cares upon you because I know you care for me. I know your yoke is easy and your burden is light. I know that if God is for me, then no one can be against me. God, I trust you with everything. And God, forgive me for the moments in my life where I didn't trust you. And when I even thought bad or said, God, why would you or how could you, God, forgive me. In the name of Jesus, let me live by your word. Let me stand on your word. God, as we're waiting for you to turn things around, give us the patience to go through the process. We'll give you the glory for it, Lord, as you're in the process of restoring losses. Restoring lost minds. Restoring lost health. Restoring lost hearts. And mending and restoring broken spirits. God, give us the patience to go through the process so we can see the promises of God. Lord, maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I got to go to step one. I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. It's my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, I'd like to pray. I would like to pray with you if you've never accepted Christ. You've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Most people say, are you saved? It just means that you're rescued from death, hell, sin, and the grave. Maybe you don't know if you're saved. Maybe you don't know if you've been rescued. You don't have to be in doubt. You can know for a fact this morning that Jesus Christ lives within your heart and you've been rescued, you are saved, and that you have eternal life with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If that's you, elevate your hand. Pastor, I need to get saved this morning. I need to accept Christ into my heart. Or maybe you hear and you say, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life. I've been just way out doing whatever and I haven't trusted God. I know God can do everything, but I don't live like it. I live like I have to do everything. I live like I know everything. I live like I am everything. And God is no thing or nothing. That's you and you need to rededicate your life. You don't need to raise your hand. That's between you and God. That's the heart-to-heart connection. The word says that God, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's between you and God, your heart-to-heart connection with God. If you need to rededicate, talk to God now. That's between you and God. God, forgive me. I repent. I know I can do better and I will do better for your glory. Maybe you're here and you've been visiting and you haven't made it official and you'd like to unite with South Bay Abundant Life Church. That's you, elevate your hand. You're looking for a church home. We all need somewhere to get fed and to be rooted, to be accountable, to be strengthened, to be challenged, to be nurtured, to be comforted. That's you and you're looking for a church home. We'd love to be your church family. We're more than members. We are family. That's you, elevate your hand. Lord, how we thank you and we love you. God, what a great day and a great time it is to be saved for such a time as this. God, help us to run to you and not from you. Help us to stay connected to you. Help us above all to start trusting you. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Anything that's not of faith is sin. When we trust our own selves, it's just a bunch of sin that we slide into. Thank you, Lord, for the word. We don't want to be business as usual. We won't be business as usual. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.